of diet so measured within the individual is just as large as a variability in diet between individuals. When you have such a situation, variability within individuals is exactly the same or greater than between individuals. You simply, mathematically, it's simply mathematically impossible to demonstrate any sharp relationship between the factor you're measuring, diet, and any other factor, in this case serum cholesterol. So it's so the tool itself and the natural variation in diet, so measured, simply prevent. There are other factors that measuring the diet once, twice, even four times by such a method is hardly an adequate measurement of the lifetime experience of diet. Another highly important factor is the homogeneity. All of us in this country are perhaps eating high-fat diets. A hallmark of American way of eating is a high-fat diet. A lifetime of exposure to this indeed blurs the relationship between any individual diet measured at one time, cholesterol level. Now let's look at the diets. Now, I thought you'd be interested in this slide on diets in various countries, measured chemically, measured systematically in our laboratory. Note here that the primary difference between countries is in the saturated fat composition of the diet. The characteristic of countries with high average cholesterol and high coronary disease rates is a saturated fat composition over 15% here in the U.S., Finland, and Holland. The characteristics of the countries with extremely low rates, Japan and Greece, are saturated fatty acid composition under 10% of calories, under 10% of calories. Oh, the correlation between saturated fat, serum cholesterol, and coronary disease is really quite strong and is not disproved by any other similarly careful work that I know of. Another important issue in this slide is the question of polyunsaturated fats, a marked controversy. Quote, polyunsaturated fats are poison, they cause premature aging and wrinkling of the skin. All right. This slide indicates the generally similar level of polyunsaturated fat intake in a number of countries. There's no correlation at all between saturated fat intake and coronary disease, and note that in no country eating natural diet is there an intake of saturated fats over, in this case, 7% of calories. Finally, we can certainly hardly deny, next slide, we can hardly deny a strong correlation between diet and serum cholesterol if we consider changes in diet. And we know Minnesota, on the basis of over 120 carefully controlled isocaloric substitutions for different fats in the diet, that we can mathematically predict the cholesterol response from a change in diet in small groups of people, expressed in this equation, which indicates that the cholesterol-raising power of saturated fat acids is approximately twice as efficient as the cholesterol-lowering power of polyunsaturated fatty acids, and that the contribution of dietary cholesterol is significant, but is largely overwhelmed, but in a high saturated fat diet, is largely overwhelmed by the fat composition diet. Now, another common controversy has to do with the carbohydrate composition of the diet. We hear a lot about carbohydrate-induced hyperlipidemia. We hear a lot about low-carbohydrate diets. The controversy here, I feel, again, is involves the singular observations of individual patients within our own particular culture, and involves not being aware of the larger experience in the larger world outside the hospital. The idea that reducing fat composition of the diet, increasing the carbohydrate composition, keeping protein stable, causes hyperlipidemia is a result of changing the extremely high-fat American diet to a lower-fat diet, and it's a result of short-term observations rather than long-term observations. Here is a long-term observation, which I think should impress you. Japanese in Japan, Hawaii, and California, in which the frequency of elevated serum cholesterol over 260 varies from 31 per thousand Japan to 124 per thousand Hawaii to 162 per thousand in Japanese and California. Next slide. Note that in the country with the highest carbohydrate, notice again these are all the same people genetically, these families are very intact. Notice that in the Japanese, who subsist on one of the highest carbohydrate diets of a civilized industrial nation, the frequency of hypertriglyceridemia in middle-aged men is on the order of 6%, whereas in Japanese California it's on the order of 25%. So people who are subsisting on long-term high carbohydrate diets, low-fat diets, do not have hypertriglyceridemia. Contrary, they have hypolipidemia. Let's consider the sugar controversy. Sugar intake is as highly correlated with coronary disease as is fat intake. And here we see indeed that the correlation between coronary disease and saturated fat is on the order of 0.9, 0.86. The correlation with sugar is on the order of 0.8. But the correlation of saturated fatty intake with sugar intake is also on the order of 0.8, 0.9, which has to do, again, with silly correlations like DB, which may be similar to the silly correlations that Corday so elegantly mentioned. Now let's consider briefly lipids. And here I'd like to make another quotation. Most of my vascular disease patients have serum cholesterol level within the normal level, within the normal range. All right? I would like you to think of these two curves when you hear colleagues make these statements, or when you catch yourself saying that most of my vascular disease patients have normal cholesterols, or this coronary patient has no risk factors. Indeed, the two populations are entirely separate. Finally, the question of triglycerides. Contribute independently to risk. This is the end of the first half of the Corday talk. And the second half contains the third section of the Megève presentation, which I would like. Now, recording.